wherever you go, however you go. For energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And this is Roast Chestnuts, a podcast where we watch made-for-TV Christmas movies, then talk about them into these microphones we have here.
And today we're talking about Undercover Christmas from 2003, a very long time ago, with Patrick Frayne, the journalist.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jean, start us off.
So Undercover Christmas is a movie I saw years ago and I always remembered. And when Alan approached me about doing the podcast, I was like, we have to do Undercover Christmas. But I called it Undercover Lover because that's what I saw it under that title. But it has since changed. And the reason I think it changed is because of porn on the internet.
Possibly.
Because when you go torrent Undercover Lover, you don't like just get the movie, you get Undercover Lover with like a with like a Slavic girl's name.
Yeah.
And various different ones. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go look for this one on YouTube.
I think a lot of these films, sometimes they're just written as generic films and they're made into Christmas films later. So like, remember the one Recipe for a Perfect Christmas was called Smothered originally.
Yeah.
And then just maybe they kind of added a bit of Christmas stuff later and changed it into a Christmas film. This could have been the same. It could have been just been about a weekend originally. And they changed it just to be about Christmas, maybe.
I don't know. Christmas features very strongly in it, though.
It is, isn't it? Going home for the holidays.
Like, yeah, that's true.
The whole plot is built.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. So.
So the plot is we've got a
never mind
cocktail waitress, and I called her Jamie Gertz because that's the actress's name, but she has a name.
She's Brandy.
Brandy O'Neill.
Yeah.
And she's a sassy cocktail waitress and she's in the bar and these men are being like louts, but then one pulls her down on his knee and you're like, oh, that's her boyfriend. But there's a man watching her at the bar and he's an FBI agent. It turns out the boyfriend's part of like a pyramid scheme or something, and the FBI agent wants to like pin down his family, so they approach her to be the witness, and the boyfriend pisses her off, so she's like, yeah, okay, I'll be the witness.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of Bernie Madoff type family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, got frosted tips and he's got like, he's like, he's a TV jerk. Like, he's everything about him is signaling
he could be
he's a jerk.
A jerk in a ski school. He could be a jerk in a high school.
Jerk anywhere.
Anywhere he wants.
Yeah. And his name is Scotty Schiff or something, isn't it?
What was her last name? Was it Shift?
Schiff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But his name's Scotty. And when they fall out because he's not taking her home for Christmas anymore, and she's been telling her friend Zelda, who works with her, I'm going home for Christmas, I don't need to go to yours for Christmas. And Zelda's like, uh-huh, whatever. And then Brandy finds out Scotty was actually only joking about that. And she says, I'm good enough to take home to your penthouse, but I'm not good enough to take home to your parents.
She's dressed as a sexy Santa as well, which is always like, I was thinking about that. I'd never really thought about that before. Why is that a thing? Like the sexy Santa thing. Is that because we secretly find Santa sexy, or
anything can be sexy to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Is it that we want to have an affair with Mrs. Claus? Like, it's always confused me as a thing, because all the waitresses in this bar are dressed as sexy Santas.
I'm in this now.
You're in this. You're thinking about
I'm thinking about this.
I don't know. Like, I don't really mind.
I think maybe people just dress. It's Santa's the most Christmassy thing.
Yeah.
So they're being the sexy most Christmas thing. I think
so at Easter it's like,
I think probably they're
Easter
not
egg,
interrogating it.
A sexy Easter
or a sexy bunny, sexy cross, a sexy rock in front of a cave. Yeah. Something like that.
Sexy Jesus.
Sexy Jesus. Well, Jesus is already sexy, so.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, I was getting my highlights done the other day and I was like, you know, a sexy Jesus from an unsexy Jesus in the pictures, because he's got layers. Because some Jesuses have hair that weighs them down and you're like, he needs layers at the end. And good sexy Jesus, like we had a sexy Jesus picture in our classroom in school and he was like surfer Jesus. Mm. And that was really good.
Do you ever get the Watchtower? You know, the
Jehovah's Witness.
Jesus has always got a side parting in those pictures. He's kind of got the hair of, he's got the trimmed beard and hair of an accountant.
Does he have short hair?
Short hair. Jesus never has long hair in those Watchtower books.
That's so interesting.
That must be why I've never converted. I like him rough and tumble.
Also, they don't celebrate Christmas. So that's a big no-no against Jehovah's Witnesses.
Speaking of Jesus, isn't it weird Daniel Day-Lewis never played him?
Yeah, that actually is weird.
Pity, sad he's retiring now. Can't play Jesus. Well, he can't play Jesus now because Jesus died pretty young. Or did he die?
Old, old Jesus, there's a pitch.
Like there's that old, there's an old Sherlock Holmes in the Michael Chabon novel where it's like Sherlock Holmes.
The E. McKellen movie.
Yeah. And there's old Hitler as well, I think. That one is old Hitler and old Sherlock Holmes.
Oh my God, the three of them sharing a flat.
And it's a YA novel as well.
Jesus,
it's about
old
a kid
Hitler.
Making friends with them and solving a mystery. It's a genuine novel, I think. It's Michael Chabon. It's a Michael Chabon novel.
It's amazing what white men have been getting away with in books. Like if a woman writes a first person, it's like, oh, is that about you? Yeah. A man writes old Jesus. It's never like, do you have some kind of sick fucking fantasy where he doesn't take the tablet and die?
So, yeah.
You know, but like, okay, moving on.
That could be Philip Roth's last novel. Could be like Old Jesus. Yeah.
Old Jesus. So he approaches outside the bar and to turn tails and be the witness, which is a lot to fucking ask of somebody. And I've read a lot of mafia romances, and a good FBI agent wouldn't approach you like that near the bar. Like he'd wait a while until you walked outside because you're still pretty observable. And people, this is pre-smoking ban era though, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Would it be? But like people would observe you being approached by a man in a coat.
Yeah.
So
but that's all it takes. Like the next scene is she's sitting there in the FBI office, just totally willing to dob in the whole
family.
She
holds a grudge. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was no snitches get stitches mentality bet into her when she was younger.
No.
Yeah.
Strange.
Like I understand law and order is good, but like no fucking way would I be a witness. I'd just be like, I can't remember anything I saw. I have amnesia. I was just like, no, they never talked to me about anything. I was just his sex toy.
Were there five men? Were there 20? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's, I can't count.
I'm an unreliable witness.
Yeah. She's a totally unreliable witness. There's no way, like, I don't think that this case would. There's a lot about this that doesn't stack up legally, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, and Jake to kind of read, he says the line to her, I need your help. And I just thought that was like a really good. Like I felt that felt profound to me.
Really?
The way he just goes, I need your help. So like it's makes kind of the first empowerment of Brandy in a long time.
That's true.
So Brandy is an actor in this. Like, you know, she's making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyne Daly.
So there
comes into it.
So Tyne Daly is his mom.
Yeah.
So she was Lacey in Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah, she was.
And she was awesome. And Tyne Daly gets in touch to say, are you coming home for Christmas? Is that what happened first? And he goes, no, because I'm a bad son and he's not going to go back for Christmas.
And he's busy with work, but also he doesn't like his dad.
He doesn't like his dad, who is a bit of a...
Oh, he's horrible.
Prick.
Yeah. But by the list, like later on, Jake gives Brandy a list of things not to talk about with the father. And from that list, you can tell exactly who he is. It's like politics, taxes, the environment... affirmative action. He mentioned specifically as well. You're like, oh, he's a prick.
There's a lot of... social political literacy in this movie.
Well, this is 3 years into Bush. It's a Bush film.
It's a strange film though because, okay, so what happens next is he's meant to be looking after her, protecting her till the case because she's agreed to dub in the Schiff family. And they're driving somewhere and he gets a phone call from Tyne Daly, who I'm just going to call Tyne Daly. And she says, your dad's has a heart attack. You got to come home. So he has to spin around and zoom towards his family home, which is somewhere snowy.
Yeah.
And as they get there, Brandy realizes he's loaded. The house is massive.
Yeah.
And Tyne Daly's there with a kind of tribe uppies.
Mm.
Like, it's a very different part from Lacey.
Is it? I've never seen Cagney and Lacey. So
after Cagney and Lacey, you see Tyne Daly's career gets very different. She's in a lot of TV movies.
Okay.
I've seen her in a few other things. But yeah.
There's actually
poor Tyne, but maybe not poor Tyne.
So Lacey
was
the
money Tyne.
Lacey was the. There's very very few depictions of working class families in American telly, and Cagney and Lacey, Lacey's family and Cagney and Lacey. It was like it and Roseanne were the only time I ever saw like working class families in American TV
shows. Yeah, because she's a pretty small apartment.
But here she is playing like
living it up.
Living it up in like a massive house filled with uptight people who came over in the Mayflower.
Yeah.
And Brandy comes into this world to change their world.
The Mayflower must be wall to wall with furniture and teapots and stuff. Yeah. Because that comes up so often on American television.
Yeah, they love saying that came from the Mayflower. Yeah. And
there's
actually
a line in this that came from the Mayflower.
Yeah, there's a teapot,
But it was in another one we talked today, we forgot to mention. They were like, yeah, that teapot came over in the Mayflower. And you're like, no, it didn't. I'd like question anything that came over in the Mayflower.
Yeah.
It's like people saying, oh, my family come from the Spanish Armada. I'm like, do they?
Yeah. When Jake is
23 and me that, please.
When Jake's talking to his boss about actually taking her for the weekend, he drops some like Criminal Mind / Mindhunter type analysis on her. He's like, she's a working class female. They're loyal to their men. Blah, 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 blah.
And he goes, this girl is totally at the mercy of his lifestyle.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
All right, Hotch.
There's a lot of dodgy gender and class stuff in this. I mean, I guess there isn't all of them, is there?
They're actually, the more recent ones are kind of okay on class. Like,
well, you don't really see working class people in them at all.
No.
I think. But she's a really unusual female.
The very first one we did, A Princess for Christmas, that had a bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she worked in an antique shop. She wasn't a cocktail waitress.
Yeah.
So.
So Jamie's definitely probably got the... most needs her job.
It's definitely the edgiest kind of character.
So what we've forgotten to say is that he's told her to pretend that she's his girlfriend because the family can't know she's a witness, because that would be really A, unprofessional, and B, he's not allowed to tell them.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want a witness in your home.
Yeah.
You'd just be like, no.
Yeah.
That's an X on a map.
Their car drive is actually like my favourite bit of the film.
Is this because
I could watch them driving and her like just analysing him. I took down so many lines from this bit. Like, she says to
him, she's got loads of personality and he's just a plank.
Yeah, she says to him,
I fancied him.
Just
to put it out there.
She says, you're naturally tense, and the job just allows you to say that it comes with the job. That it's not a constant job. I was like, that's a good analysis.
Also, immediately when she starts building a narrative for them, when she realizes she's going home, that shows how desperate she is to find a place in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she also says, you wear greys as an expression of intelligence and you don't get jokes, which is an excellent read of him, I think.
Yeah.
But he doesn't change. I don't think
he does either.
She has to change for him, which is really sad. Yeah. It's like Grease, the saddest movie in the world. Mm.
And she arrives in like, they're all really shocked by her, or they pretend to be shocked by her.
To be fair,
her
tits are out.
Okay.
she does, the shirt is like buttoned like way too near the belly button, like that's where the first button is, and she's just walking around with a bra on and a shirt, which like fair enough, but Tyne Daly, like, put a jumper on for, you know,
you're around Tyne Daly, show some respect.
And they're very judgmental. They say there's all this stuff about, like, she says things that are kind of explicitly sexy, because there's a bit where the sister goes, Jake doesn't seem like your type, he's silent, repressed and totally lacking in spontaneity, and she goes, maybe that's what makes him so good in bed.
Yeah.
And a saxophone plays. So the one thing I really noticed about the soundtrack is it's really, really random. That there's just random. There's a bit where they have a fight later, and then there's just a jaunty version of Silent Night as the soundtrack. But every time something sexy is played, a saxophone comes in. It's the only time there's something that's kind of thematically appropriate. When they kiss later, that's not a spoiler, they kiss at the end of all these movies, right?
Yeah.
So when they kiss later, a saxophone comes in as well.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is totally inappropriately soundtracked. You know, there's a fight and it's like, is the soundtrack, or there's...
The soundtrack feels like it comes from the 80s. In the club at the start, it's like really like
squeaky
Miami Vice.
Yeah.
It's very,
I think
they kind of solidify that music, the kind of music personality of Hallmark films a bit later.
Yeah.
Where they're all very similar. This is really, it's a very different film to the other ones we've seen, I think.
And we have, did we mention the fact Tyne Daly was lying about the father's heart attack?
Oh, did we? We have now.
Yeah, she was lying.
Yeah.
And that's
to get
him home.
Under the carpet really, really quickly.
It's a real fucked up lie.
Yeah. That's a really weird thing to do,
And also they let Jake and Brandy share the bedroom together.
Yeah, and she says something weird about how I understand modern times even though I abhor them.
Yeah.
That's what Tyne Daly says.
Yeah. And then she describes, she goes to the sister, who I don't know if the sister lives there full time or just for Christmas.
They're just visiting, yeah.
And she just goes, we have to do something. Your brother has brought home a predator.
Yeah. Which I instantly thought of the version of the film where it's an actual predator from the film Predator.
I kept thinking to catch a predator.
Movie mashup. It's just like, I'm a predator. But that's not helpful with this reading of it.
There's a really good line where Brandy and him are in the bedroom and she's like, whoa, your life. And he's just like, oh, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And she's like, well, if I had all this money, it would have changed my life. Mm. And I was like, yeah, Jake, privilege, check it.
Also, Jake has a super problematic like Washington Redskins pillow that he carries everywhere.
But he's also got to save the trees poster, so maybe he's good.
Maybe he learned, but yeah.
I think he's just so boring, he's completely balanced. He's appropriate and inappropriate at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's a niece, and that's really important for all these films. So the niece is the person she bonds with first because her out there, say it like it is, personality helps liberate the niece. And she gives the niece inappropriate how to be sexy lessons, which is inappropriate. But one of the things I've noticed about all Hollywood movies is if you've got a character and you want to shortcut to make them likable, you have a child say, I like this person. And the audience is I'm easily tricked by that. So I go, oh, this must be a nice person because the child says they're nice. And so Ashley, the niece, is there for that purpose. She's like the canary in the coal mine for Brandy's niceness for the rest of the family.
She's also a really rude child. Like, she rejects Christmas presents at the end that her granny got her.
Yeah, just wear the Christmas jumper.
Yeah, her granny got her Christmas jumper and she's like, don't wear that jumper. And you're like, one day of your life, love.
This is before ironic Christmas jumpers were a thing again. That was like a recession thing. So
there's a really funny bit also where Jake has teddy bears and Brandy mocks him and he just goes, General Patton and Eisenhower teddy bears. And I wrote that down, but then I went and I Googled it because this girl's diligent and Google said nothing. There was no proof.
I feel
bears.
Like when he said that, I felt like I heard it before. Maybe it's just the fact that it sounds true.
I Googled Eisenhower teddy bears. I Googled General Patton teddy bears. And what did come up was them being given toys or something when the American troops arrived into villages. But I actually, I just don't think that happened. I want to see that on video. I'm just there like, why would you throw a toy at an American troop coming into your town liberating it from the Nazis?
That does sound like propaganda.
Yeah, it sounds weird. Like, I just didn't buy it. So I think fake news there.
They're also weird people to pick. Or am I missing something about...
Well, they would be American heroes.
Okay.
So
yeah, like they were. I'm gonna show my shocking ignorance of history. Were they like Eisenhower is World War II president, right?
Yeah, Patton as well.
And Patton was
Eisenhower was after World War II, so he was
A war hero.
The Roosevelt.
Yeah, yeah, Patton was like a admiral or general or something, wasn't he? Yeah.
Patton was involved in the Battle of the Bulge, wasn't he? I think so. I think Patton was one of the guys.
We're so good at this.
I think he was that era.
Okay, cool.
Maybe.
Okay, but that's weird as well. He's got like his Save the Trees poster, but he also knows about military history. Like, that's such a weird combination of things. He's not a character at all. Like,
he's very blank.
I mean, she's not got loads of dimensions, but she's got some dimensions as a character. He's kind of he stays blank the whole way through. Like, there's a bit then when she starts to bond with Tyne Daly and there's chemistry, and I'm going, okay, it would be really subversive if that was the correlation.
And Tyne Daly needs to leave that husband throughout.
So Tyne Daly getting together with her, that would be an interesting trajectory.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Because they kind of bond and there's like romance. When she's with the plank, it just feels like she's trading one rich guy for another rich guy.
Yeah, she's at the mercy of their lifestyles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it never really quite knocks away that prejudice.
Isn't it super weird at the breakfast when the father is just openly being a misogynist to his own daughter who's partnering in her law firm and he's like, you should stay at home. And the little girl's just listening to all this and everyone's just letting him say it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't let that weird husband be the breadwinner for that family, even though he's semi-famous.
Yeah, they keep saying he's semi-famous. It's a good line.
Like, he's a TV psychologist.
On public access TV, yeah.
Whatever happened to that famous Irish child psychologist, David Coleman?
He's still around.
Is he still around? Yeah. Haven't seen him in a while. Hope he doesn't listen to this and might hurt his feelings. Oh, and remember,
if he's listening, he should come in and do an episode. I'll just throw it out there.
Next year.
There's a lot to be said about child psychology in these films. When children turn up, I'm just like going, what?
Actually, he gets an info at davidcoleman.net and we're just there like, hey. I love that Jake takes her out of the room to bring up her swishing arse.
There's a lot of kind of slut-shamey stuff. I mean, right through. And even, so he says that. He says, don't sashay or something.
Yeah,
don't
he calls it a swish, I think.
And then she says, you mean my butt? He's like, well, whatever. I don't mean, I have no sexual urges whatsoever. Leave me alone.
Yeah. And everyone keeps saying how he keeps staring at her.
Yeah.
like they call him obsessive with her and stuff. Mm. He's making sure she doesn't bolt, but also she's Brandy O'Neill. How could she not stare?
This family are become sold on her ridiculously quickly. Like you can go, it's, you know, it's amazing how they've overcome their classism in order to welcome him into her internal family eventually.
That's but what like, happens when you're good crack.
That's kind of ish though, right? That's the only thing is she comes along and she's good crack.
They probably haven't had like a genuine laugh in about a decade.
Yeah, with that father.
Yeah.
No.
So does someone making any joke at all?
There's a really good bit where Tyne Daly says about her son Jake watching Brandy, "You act as though she was in custody or heat." And I actually started laughing because I was like, I haven't heard an in heat joke, I don't think, ever.
I think the pacing in this film is really different to other Hallmark films, because normally the big like reveal or conflict happens 15 minutes from the end, and then it's resolved 10 minutes from the end, and then there's like 5 minutes of whatever. But here the big conflict happens like half an hour in, when after Brandy does the teaching Ashley how to walk sexily, and Jake tells
that
Brandy
is so
that
inappropriate. Though. Am I wrong?
No, it definitely is. But he tells her he doesn't want his niece to end up like her, and then she threatens to leave. Yeah. So that's that. I thought that was what was going to happen 10 minutes from the end.
She does give him like, "Don't say anything rude to me again."
Yeah, no, they don't resolve it. Yeah.
Then there's a Breakfast Club style makeover scene.
There is, yeah,
where the mother and sister, Tyne Daly and her daughter, take her off and she does loads of costume changes until they find something that's appropriately high class.
Yeah.
Is that?
And they get rid of the Technicolor highlights in her hair.
Red and green, Christmassy.
Yeah.
They're iconic. The mother starts calling Jake Jakey after Brandy. So,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's only after they go shopping. I think Brandy's a great character. She has a lot of great one-liners. Was the sister called Samantha, is it, or something?
The sister is called.
Just called her sister. She's giving out to her daughter. And Brandy says that gives out to her, basically.
Yeah.
And the sister says, "You're trying to tell me how to raise my daughter." And Brandy says, "No, you just don't know how to dress her."
It is true,
it is
though. Good.
It is.
Yeah.
She does dress like a little mini Victorian child, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bit
of character for her. I don't. I disagree with mocking people's sartorial style. They shouldn't. She shouldn't be trying to change. Nobody should be trying to change anyone else in this film.
Well, the little girl does want different clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are very self conscious at that age.
Mm.
So I do feel like now Juicy Couture tracksuit if she wants one, like. And the teaching about walking. I went to a Catholic girls' school and I loved it. Big believer in them. And we had a woman come in, we were 16. She was a former Irish model from the 60s or the 70s and 80s. And she was now an image consultant or whatever. So she went around to schools and she taught us all how to walk properly.
Really?
So we used to do catwalk walking. We used to do like proper sexy walking, like putting our legs. Like I remember the class.
Yeah.
I remember her tearing strips out of us. And also we all had to bring in our favourite outfits. So we were only like 15, 16. And like girls ended up crying by the end of the day because she told me you haven't got the waist to pull that off.
Jesus
and
Christ.
People come in their hunt ball dresses and I came in wearing a black turtleneck and a polka dot skirt, whatever the fuck. And she just goes, "Jean, if Jean was a tiny bit bigger, she wouldn't be able to pull off that skirt." And I just remember being like, whoa. Like, someone next to me crying. I was like, oh my God, I won today. And I just remember how fucked up it was. And like, I think they didn't, I don't know if they apologized to girls, but they definitely like didn't get her in again. But like in one way, she did like hand girls with kind of especially coarse, bad hair cards of hairdressers they should go to see in cities because they needed specialist treatment for their hair. And I know it was mean, but it came from an okay place. I don't know. Like it was a really fucked up incident. But like, I think one of the girls did go to one of those specialist hairdressers and get her hair. Like she needed to get it. What's it you call when you get treated or set? You know, it's African American hair. You've got to get a certain treatment through it to sometimes.
Oh, relaxed.
Yeah, she had to get her hair like relaxed. So your one did send her on to someone for that. So like, bad, very much bad, but one good.
Yeah.
Come out of it for a girl. I don't know.
I don't think it's the same as a random cocktail waitress coming in, though.
Yeah.
It is weird that the school, though, decided that was something to do. Like, I would have rather go on a retreat and been told using my vagina is evil.
which was happening too all over the country.
Yeah, so, you know, I felt like that would have been maybe a more productive use of everyone's time.
Hmm. What happens in the film then? Oh, they go to the party. And
that's that's the second dramatic incident happens.
Yeah, because the lawyer's there.
Yeah,
for the other
family. Yeah, that was really scary.
Yeah, the father just completely, he kind of has a very prescient, like, pro Trump speech almost, 2003.
Yeah,
because the Jake says that, like, they're anti-American, basically tax avoidance is anti-American, and he's like, no, they're rich and my friends, they're
so
good.
Corrupt, they're anti-American.
Yeah,
and I go, Jake, comma, so sexy.
Really though, like, I just wasn't seeing it with Jake. Like,
he's actually a very handsome man.
Horrible as the father was, I was like going, the father's acting him off the screen here. I'm finding him alluring. He's like going, I like the people in my club. I can't do the voice right, but it was about the club. It was like, you know, people he trusted.
Guys,
were saying that she's a baddie.
Have another point about when she comes down the stairs in the wind machine.
Oh,
yeah. Jake is like,
why is there a wind machine?
Yeah, I know. It was great.
She comes down the stairs and her hair is kind of flowing.
Yeah. And Jake's like, about the dress, it's so lovely. And she says something about, like,
that felt like a really genuine compliment.
Yeah.
As well.
And she like mocks her past or whatever. And he just goes, I was beginning to appreciate the other version of you, but this is good too, or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's nice that you were starting to fall for, like, sassy Brandy. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, maybe this is the writer's attempt at bringing in Dame Ragnall, the story. Did you ever hear that one?
No.
So one of the Arthurian legends, which I read on Wikipedia. I did not go direct to that source. And Dame Ragnall is this woman who does King Arthur a favour, and then they're like, oh, what does Dame Ragnall want, or whatever. And she's like, oh, husband. So Arthur asks one of his faves to go marry her, and the guy's like, okay, King Arthur, whatever for you. But Dame Ragnall is like a crone. But then on the wedding night, she's like a ride, and your man's after falling for her, and Dame Ragnall's like, which version of me do you want? So he's like, does he pick the crone, or does he pick whatever, not, like, something anyway? And he just goes to her, or does he want the crone at night, or like a switcheroo, like, whatever. And Dame Ragnall asks him this, and he just goes, whichever version you want. And that means Dame Ragnall, the curse is broken.
It could have been influenced by Shrek as well.
Yeah, I think Shrek.
This came millennia before Shrek.
Shrek
but
is Undercover
Christmas came after Shrek. So
Shrek is basically that myth though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the wife of Bat as well, I believe, is the thing. Do you know, I'm not up on my Chaucer via Wikipedia.
Wife of Bat's about, like, affairs and stuff, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know, I only know Geoffrey Chaucer from The Knight's Tale.
Okay. Are there sexy saxophone solos in The Wife of Bath or Arthurian legend?
The Wife of Bath, I think, is the filthiest of the Canterbury Tales.
Okay.
She is just, it's the innuendo one.
Okay.
And it involves people actually, so, like, falling out of windows. Solos. And there would be. It would be a Benny Hill saxophone, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, if they did a live version of it. So.
So then the dad realizes that she's, because his club friend has told him that she is a witness, and he goes mad and wants to kick her out.
Yeah, and there's kind of, it all explodes. And then, does she try to go? I can't remember now.
She stays, they're going to leave Christmas Day. So they stay for Christmas morning. Her and Jake have a fight because Jake's like, Brandy, Scotty was actually cheating on you. And that's, she gets really hurt by that. Not by the fact that Scotty ruined lives.
Yeah.
That, like, she doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
That's made pretty clear.
Yeah,
people have lost their pensions and stuff. Mm. So she comes down the next morning to Christmas and turns out loads of people have gotten her presents.
Yeah, that was nice. Also, the weird uncle got a lavender relaxation pillow.
That was fucking fucked up.
That was
scene.
A weird bit of acting. Some very weird scenes there.
And then Jake says goodbye to his father, and this scene was amazing, where he, like, justifies his life choice to his father, and he just goes, "I'm trying to live an authentic life," and I was just like, "I like the only self help book I've read is Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed," and I was like, "Yes," I was like, "Totally get this. Yeah, live your authentic life," and I said, "That was lovely." I don't know, so I was into it.
Father gave him nothing back, though.
No.
There's not many self-help books where living your authentic life leads you to being one of the feds. Like, there's something quite strange about all that. And then you're back to the Save the Trees poster, and you're like, there's something really odd about Jake.
He
must have
been
recruited in college or something.
Yeah.
I'd love to be recruited to be a spy in college.
It's kind of a dream.
It can happen.
Like, you don't necessarily want to be a spy, but it's nice to be asked. That they would know that you could do it.
I wouldn't want to be a Cambridge spy, though.
No, that seems boring.
The
Soviet guys.
Yeah. Oh, those ones.
Guy Burgess.
Yeah. They made a good four-parter TV show on that in the early noughties.
Yeah. I'd like to be one of those visiting professors who are actually like Russian influencers, sort of like influencing young minds all around the world.
Ah.
There's a good book. There's a really good book where that's the twist. So I'm not even going to say the name of it because that's the twist in the book, so I'll have given it away, but I'll tell you afterwards if you want.
Nowadays they just give you a Twitter account and tell you to have at it.
Yeah.
Is it Robert Ludlum book?
No, it's a female author. It was her first book and I've read it like 3 times. And it has a really good thing where it ends with a quiz with multiple choices about that tests you about the book. And it's all in the first person.
This is written by a woman who works as a financial analyst, and it's the physics book, is it?
It is.
Yeah, that's a great book.
It's great, isn't it?
That's
we'll say the name. You're basically reviewing a book without saying
it's no, it is.
Special Topics in Comedy Physics.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's a great book.
A great book.
Yeah.
Would recommend it. Very heavy book, lots, too many pages, but I love the end.
Yeah.
Because it's got a really romantic ending.
This is like Guess Who with books. No. Does it have
she
read wrote, her?
She was working in the financial industry, like in a really job she hated, and was just writing the book there.
Yeah.
And then got a huge book deal for it. But like, she's only written one book. She wrote Night Music after. No, not Night Music. Night
Film. She has a second one, which I haven't read.
Yeah, she wrote one called Night Film.
Yeah,
Marissa Pessel, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Or Marcia Pessel, is it? Or Marissa.
Yeah, it's something like Pessel is her second name. It's a good book.
It's very good. Anyway, but this is nothing to do with that.
Look at that. It's a Christmas present off my mother. Huh. Yeah, that lovely album.
Now, there we go. What else have we got? Oh, so they do a jumper switch because Ashley is being a dick about her jumper.
Yeah.
So she gives Ashley the lovely shirt that she got. Well, lovely is a relative term. It's presented as lovely in the film. And she does a really nice thing where she comes in the jumper and she does a little shimmy and a wink to Jake.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, jingle. Really nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her boobs jingle. And Tyne Daly then is to Jake outside talking about the father, and it's really fucking sad because she just goes, I still wish I could change him, but I can't. And then she says something about all the ways in which he defeats me or something. And I was just a bit like, put your mom in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your pedal on whatever makes the car move and get out of there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brandy's testimony in court happens.
So they go they go back to the city, but first they check into a hotel and they're in different rooms because things aren't perfect with them at that point. And
also then, he legally can't, it's his job, he's not meant to be shagging her.
There's a lot. I mean, they skirt a few lines. So Scotty turns up at the hotel, and this is where I guess Hallmark movies are different from mainstream Hollywood movies, in that I was going, if this was a mainstream Hollywood movie, there'd be thugs and there'd be some sort of gunfight, but no, he just bribes her with stuff. Mm. He arrives with loads of presents and she is tempted to not give her testimony. But then he finds out, Jake the Plank finds out, and Plank acts his way into seeming surprised. And then in court the next day, it's unclear which way she's going to go. And the parents turn up. Tyne Daly has changed grouchy father's mind.
Yeah,
and
off
now
camera.
They're all supportive.
Yeah,
and he's years and years of psychological abuse is brushed under the carpet, and he's nice now.
But he's like, he's super supportive. Like he's like grabbing Tyne Daly's arm, going, "Come on, we're going to miss the court." Kind of, "Come on, everybody!" But he's like super switches over very quickly.
And Brandy does the right thing on the stand.
Again, it's unclear why she does that.
And because he's winking, the Scotty's winking away at her, and then there's an amazing bit that I loved where the lawyer asks, how intimate were you with Scotty? And she goes, about as intimate as you can get. And the court goes mad and the judge has to go, order in the court! Which is always my favourite thing. Like, there's like, murmur, hubbub, hubbub. And it's unclear then until Brandy spills the beans.
Yeah.
And Scotty's going down.
The good thing with that is she says, I heard him talk about loads of stuff. They always just talked about money and how they were going to take other people's money. And then you hear the guy go, no further questions. Like, no, get more detail out of her.
She's talking. There's so many things that are problematic. Because then Scotty goes down and they go out. And on the steps of the court, there's a meeting with the parents, with Tyne and now nice dad.
Yeah.
And they go off and they're going to give their relationship their blessing. Mm-hmm. And they snog on the steps of the court, which if I was Scotty's lawyer, I would instantly be going, retrial. Like, there's no lawyer, no one's around, but they're just on the steps of the court snogging. That should be thrown out. That's a miscarriage of justice of some description.
So
right?
Scotty's actually the hero.
Scotty could be the hero because what's Jake, whose name I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
So Jake has been like this posh honey trap to lure her because she's so susceptible, as his boss says.
Lads, you could say it's the third man with the wrong ending.
I haven't seen The Third Man.
Oh, Third Man is like my favourite movie
of
all time.
Who's Harry Lime?
Scotty.
Scotty's Harry Lime, yeah.
And Joseph Cotton is Jake. And Valley is Brandy. And Valley just made the wrong decision. Valley didn't walk out of that graveyard. You will love The Third Man. It's the best ending of any movie.
I think I've seen the end of it in Get Shorty.
It's the best, my favourite film ending.
I think
of
if there was
time.
A sequel to this, it would probably be like season two of Broadchurch, where it's just the whole season's about how badly they did the investigation the first time. And how wrong they got everything. And
oh, he'd be fired. If there was a sequel to this, he'd be fired. He'd be living off Brandy's cocktail money. Mm-hmm. There'd probably be
he'd go back to law school because the dad would be delighted and he'd be a dodgy lawyer.
And now he's defending the mob.
If you were suspended from the feds, could you go to law school?
I'd say so.
Maybe in like Georgia or something. They move to Georgia.
Yeah.
And they open a peach farm and he becomes a southern lawyer. And then it's actually To Kill a Mockingbird, and this actually.
I think if we've learned anything in the past few weeks, it's like you can do anything.
Anything is possible.
So, like, you know, but also just in the news as well. You're like looking at things that happen, you're like, wow, the sky really is the limit.
Yeah, as long as you have no shame about it, you're okay.
Yeah, I'm like, confidence is key.
Yeah.
So that's my takeaway.
What is the moral? So the moral of the story is So she's basically. She's kind of been really attracted to his family.
Yeah, Brandy. But then at the very end, Brandy starts living her authentic life. And she goes out and visit her mum for Christmas. And her mum's outside smoking because she's sassy like Brandy too.
Yeah.
And he goes in and has Christmas with her and her mum. And I did like the ending. And just to say, one of my favourite scenes in this movie, and it stayed, I saw this years ago. Like, I remember seeing this as a young teen. And the scene that stayed with me for years is that ending scene. And also the bit where she remembers how, as a child, her mum would put on the fire VCR, VHS.
Yeah.
And they'd watch a fire because they didn't have a proper fireplace. Mm. And a friend of mine the other day was telling me that years ago his mum bought the fire on DVD and now she's raging because he's getting on Netflix and there's four of them. And she's like, damn, I bought that DVD.
There's a 6-hour one of it. Wow. Which is really good. They have like they actually throw different bits of wood on for you. It's good.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's actually, I think, in terms of what change she makes, there's a bit earlier on where she says to Jake that Scotty is the best she can do, so she's going to be happy with
that. Yeah, she says that.
I think she
realizes
she's worth more than Scotty, I think, is the change in her.
But it's a very
capitalistic
message.
I think she realizes she can steal that Mayflower antique.
Yeah.
But that message is like, it's not about her, it's about who she can be connected to. So she has swapped one connection for another. Like, it's a kind of anti-feminist. I mean, are they all like this?
I don't know. What do you think, Jean?
I think fair play to Brandy. She's never going to work as a cocktail waitress again. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but like, fuck it.
The dignity of labour.
No, I'm at like the stage. I'm at the stage in my life when I was younger.
Luxury
and like,
communism.
Oh yeah, whatever. Do what you love. And now I'm like, if I see someone and they're with someone like way less attractive and all this, and people are like, oh, what's up with that? And I was like, oh, his parents are buying the house, and I'm like, fuck it. Once your name's on the deeds, your name's on the deeds. So
that's the bit to extract for the ads.
But I'm like, I just kind of like, I don't judge people for riding for money. I'm kind of like, get what you can, get on their health plan.
I'm just not sure I'm not sure that he's actually better than Scotty.
Like, so
I'm
making,
not sure there's much. Like, if the dad's anything to go by, they're going to be living an emotional roller coaster.
I suppose isn't the thing of his difference is that he's trying to live an authentic life and he's not using his family's money. So
Brandy's going to need that money.
Yeah. She is.
But maybe, you know what? Brandy and Tyne Daly. I'd marry into Tyne Daly's family. Because I'd just be bringing up Cagney and Lacey.
It does seem once she likes
and
it,
I'd be like,
really
what do you make of, what was it, Make Peace and...
Dempsey
and Makepeace. Yeah. So I was like, do you ever meet Dempsey and Makepeace? Who are still married.
Are they?
The two of them married. They married in real life and they're still married. I love Dempsey and Makepeace. Actually, way less episodes than you think, so you can watch it over Christmas.
I like really long Hollywood marriages that seem honest.
Don't know if they're could call this a Hollywood marriage.
It was TV English, marriage. Wasn't it? Dempsey and
Makepeace. It was English, but like...
One of them was American.
For some reason, I don't think they've spent that much time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I don't think it's Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
Okay, fair enough.
Levels. So I think the real romance in this, for me to be authentic, would have to be Brandy and Tyne Daly. That felt like the real, like the father is kind of hilariously evil, but he doesn't feel real. Yeah. Jake just doesn't feel real to me. Brandy kind of felt real. Mm. Tyne Daly kind of felt real.
Tyne was real.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
again, she's Tyne Daly.
Yeah. Did she win like a Tony that year for something else or something like that?
Do you know, I didn't
the same
the
year
trivia.
She made it, I think. She won one of the big four for something else.
Okay.
So she was really jumping around in terms of genre.
She's diverse.
Hmm.
So did we like it?
I loved it. It's my favourite one of the 10 we watched. It made me laugh out loud more than any of the others.
Yay!
Yeah.
Patrick?
I liked it. I was just really confused. I know you like Jake, but I just felt this vacuum whenever he was on the screen.
He could have been stronger, yeah. I think.
So now he was clean, good looking, wore a coat.
It was such a low bar. He was he's clean.
He works as a model sometimes, I think, around then. So,
okay.
Like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. So you like it?
Yeah, but I'm really into Law and Order type stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Law and Order do their research about the law. Yeah. There's a lot about this that just felt really dodgy legally. Like, I do think that whole case is going to collapse. Like, that whole court case will...
Very possible.
Yeah. I used to do a mock trial in college, which makes it seem like I was, like, participating in the mock trial as a law student. But no, I was the witness actor every year. And I used to love doing it. So I played one year, I played the kind of... the honeypot or whatever. I'd play like a girl who was on the stand and had obviously had sex with the man being accused of murder, and I felt like Brandy. So okay. I had great fun doing that. So
did she just put on her accent?
No, I did an Irish accent because I wouldn't be good at accents now. Mm-hmm. I had to do it. I actually dropped out. This is so good of me. I dropped out of doing a play when I was in secondary school because they wanted me to play a German character, but they wanted me to goose step, and I said no. Yeah. Isn't that good? Because number one, like, I wasn't goose stepping, and number two, I'm really bad at accents.
And just to clarify, was this a German character during World War II, or was it like really racist anti-Germanism and it was a German character set in the 90s?
I forget the play, but like they wanted to make the character really German, which is pretty bad. And actually a girl on the writing team reported me, and I had to be called out because I said her writing was shit. And it was. So she got really upset. And I was taken off the writing team.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Patrick Frayne.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to plug?
I've absolutely nothing to plug
just,
except happy Christmas,
just
everybody.
By the Irish Times, happy Christmas.
By the Irish Times and happy Christmas.
We have. Always thank Dee McDonald for the artwork.
And Daniel McCauley for the music.
Yeah.
The music man.
Oh, this episode, if you listen to it when the day came out, it's St. Stephen's Day. So happy St. Stephen's Day, everybody.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that how it's going to work out?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is shot live.
Yeah. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.